Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Welcome to Are You Having a Draft? My name is Bradley James and I am joined by
Marcus Ellard. Also, just before you dive in with the next thing, this is the first one we've done in person with each other since like February.
Wow.
They've always been over Zoom.
They have. I feel like even February, I wasn't in this country in February.
This is the first one face to face this year.
It actually might be.
Oh, really? Because we were Zooming at different times, and Yare and Melalu came to my work.
Yes.
And we were on Zoom, and that was like in January or something.
Yes. I have a feeling we must be talking about the start of the season was the last time. Towards sort of like October time, maybe, was the last time we were in the same room recording this podcast together.
That is bonkers.
Which only fits in perfectly with 2020 in general.
Lots to catch up on. If it wasn't for Zoom, we'd have a lot to catch up on.
Wouldn't we just? It's the start of a new season, Marcus.
Thank goodness. I'm really excited. I can't wait for it to kick off.
There's a hell of a lot to cover, but we're going to simplify this. And we're going to give you, however many parts this becomes, the draft interviews. So on draft day, this was all the drafters being grilled about their tactics, about their thoughts, their feelings, their rivalries, their desires, their hopes and dreams for the draft. We were grilled about them before the draft, before any players were drafted, before anybody's hopes and dreams were dashed. We recorded our thoughts and feelings on the upcoming season.
I'm really looking forward to hearing them. What's great about these, we know what we know now with the teams and all of that kind of stuff, or how the draft went down.
Yeah.
But we are hearing people before they knew. I think it's brilliant that we're like acting as hindsight, almost.
It's also the bit of the podcast that gets recorded that we don't really hear until we sort of listen to it like a podcast.
I've never listened to these before.
I really enjoyed that aspect of it last year when we were just listening to these interviews for the first time. And I was like, ooh. People saying things about each other, which we're now privy to.
Which I hadn't thought about, and now I'm a little bit nervous.
You should be, Marcus.
God.
You'll be fine. Alright, time to get on with the show.
Oh, Bradley, I've got a question actually.
Yeah.
Are you having a draft?
Sure,
so, Marcus, let's get started.
Can't wait. The suspense is killing me.
There's something to notify, I suppose, our listeners about.
Yeah.
To introduce them to a man called Jose De Palma.
Legend of the draft day.
Yes. Took like 1,000 photographs on the day. You're going to be seeing his work throughout social media for the rest of the season. He also doubled up and he became our parkie, as it were.
Parkie.
Now, you'll notice with Jose, he's not from around here. He's originally from Costa Rica. He's been in London for quite a few years now. And he uses a lot of English expressions, but they have a very American twang around them. Or
I noticed that, like, he said mate quite a lot.
Yes.
Which obviously is an American, or with an American accent, you don't hear very often. So it's like, that's quite cool. I liked it.
He says it in a way that if, at first you're not sure if he's taking the mickey out of English people. And then you hear it again, you're like, oh, it actually sort of sounds quite casual coming out of his mouth. And he's got quite a few of those. His take on Nitty Gritty is my favourite.
I can't wait.
Well, the other thing about him, he's Costa Rican by way of Florida.
Yes.
He has a very positive energy. I think he has a very positive energy as a person in general. He just sort of brings that naturally. And there's a couple drafters who are, for different reasons, the antithesis of him. And it's interesting to see their energy match up. Yeah. He had to step into the role of interviewer because we're going to have him and Luca do it.
Yeah.
Luca, or rather him and his brother Danny, the Barcelona brothers, didn't realise that there might be traffic in London, so they were late.
I did wonder.
Yeah, didn't take that into account. Well done, lads. So, what that means is, because of the fact that they were late and we couldn't really wait any longer, we had to get started.
Yeah.
And so thankfully, Jose was there.
Super sub.
Yeah, got us underway. So, first up, Marcus, you'll remember this person.
Me.
It was indeed you. So, you had just the Jose experience at this stage.
Yeah.
Shall we have a listen to what you've got to say, mate?
Come on, without further ado.
Hello, good sir. How are you this afternoon?
Very well, nice to see you.
Thanks for being here. You got a nice little colour on you with all the sun and the photo shoot.
Love. Yeah, but, and also, like, I feel like, because I'm doing catering, obviously,
yeah.
I've been running around up and down the stairs, making sure everything's in front of the barbecue, so it might just be that. But yeah.
That nice little fire. But it does match the uniform, which is quite lovely.
Thank you.
You blend in quite nicely. So I have a few questions for you, mate.
Yep.
First question being, how confident are you with the new Legacy League format?
That's a good question. I am quietly confident. I was like a big advocate of this. I think it's a great idea. And also, I've got a few ideas of who to draft in the Legacy. But also, I think some people, I don't know, are quite aware of this. I think some people are going to draft Legacy quite early on. But I'm not going to draft Legacy for my first pick, definitely. So I'm going to have someone that I know is guaranteed points. And then second or third, it might be Legacy. No, I'm feeling really confident about it. I like it. I've done my research and I've got a bunch of people highlighted for Legacy purposes. So let's see what happens.
All right, so you feel very confident about winning. You feel like this is your season.
I don't know how confident I feel about winning this season, but I feel confident about the Legacy. I feel confident that in the next few years, I could be challenging, I think. This might answer a question later, but with like number 10 pick, I'm actually nervous about having number 10 as a pick.
What is your tactic?
Right, the specifics are I need to stay for the first two rounds, particularly, maybe even three, stay completely focused.
Right.
Because I'm going to watch every single player that gets picked. I'm going to cross. I've got a list in my book, my draft book. I'm going to make sure that I cross off every single player that goes.
Okay.
Okay. So what that means, and I've got them in an order where they've got their points from last season and some facts and this, that, and the other about them, so that I can cross them off. So being 10th pick, for example, if Aubameyang goes first, which he should do, I'll cross him off the list. So when it comes to me, I'll have crossed off those first nine players and we'll be able to see how the next player that gets picked, the 10th player, the one I go for, performed last season against the other players that are still available. Does that make sense?
No.
So I'm using the previous season, which I think is even more key this year because the season finished so recently. That's what I'm going to go for. So the first two or three, I need to stay completely focused to see who goes, because I think there will still be an absolute blinding player to be had at number 10, and I don't want to miss that player. Werner, I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Werner, I think.
Yeah, Werner. So Chelsea have just signed Werner. Now, yeah, I think he is going... He has the potential to have a blinding season, but that is always a bit of a risk when you pick a new player,
right?
Because they need to adapt to the team, they need to adapt to the league. Is he going to start the first few games, etc., etc.? He could be amazing. I think he'll go top 10. If he's available at 10, 100% having him, but I think he could even go in the top 5.
So would he also be your secret sort of pick?
If there's I don't know with this lot, because I don't think anything's a secret, because everyone like has been basically like... Yeah. Watching Sky Sports News and Googling and stuff. If there's a secret pick... Oh, this depends on Leeds' defensive thing this year, but I think Dallas.
Dallas.
Dallas, secret pick.
All right, you heard it first, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so let's get into the interesting yeah. questions. Who do you want in the later rounds?
Harvey Barnes, I'd like to in a later round. Again, I had him last year, Leicester City. I'd also like Dallas to be in a later round right. as well, actually, yeah. funnily enough. Be interesting to see how long Grealish stays around for. That's the thing, later rounds, I want younger players to be available so that they can be legacy. Does that make
yeah,
sense?
That make, yeah, that actually does make sense.
There you go.
Who would you like to win, mate?
Win the draft?
Yeah, win the draft.
Apart from
who
myself.
Who will be the winner? This question hurts, I know. Who would you want to win?
Andy O'Neill.
Okay, why?
Because I wanted him to win last year, and I thought he was going to have a really good season, and I think he kind of, I think he was mid-table. He's about ready to have a brilliant season. I like Andy a lot. He's a good guy. I like everyone, obviously. But he's a good guy. He stuck up for me in the Greenwood saga. Also, I'd like to see Andy do well because he supports Everton and there's a few Liverpool fans here.
Okay.
So I think that's like another thing that he could have over them.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And also, he's not won yet.
So okay.
It'd be nice to have another new winner. I'm not ready to see someone win it twice.
Because last season there was one winner. The person that won has never won before.
Yeah, he'd never played before. So Nick... the champ, that's pounding the pot. Nick, the champ, hadn't even played before, so he like won on his rookie season.
Oh man, that must feel wonderful to come in for and him. Actually win. Yeah, right?
Not for someone who's been doing it for 7 years.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so a little bit, very similar question, but which drafter do you think will win? So we know which one you want to win. Which one do you think will win?
I think Mantle.
Mantle. Why is that?
I think Mantle because I feel like he's very prepared this year. I feel like last year people were saying he could win it the second time because he's always finished around about the top two. I think finishing out of the top two
right.
might have hurt him a little bit. He's like a secret assassin. He lives further away, like he lives up in Nottingham and stuff, does his thing. I think he's secretly plotting for a second win.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I think he's done a lot of work this year for it. So I think Mantle could win. I think Mantle will win. That's the question.
Okay, so that is obviously saying apart from you.
Apart from me, apart from Andy, Mantle could win.
Who will get the wooden spoon?
I'm going to be really controversial because
he
came so close to winning this year. I think Melaleu.
Really?
Well, yeah, I think maybe. Yeah, it would be interesting to have someone that was so close to winning.
I was there the day they were watching when
Sports 4, yeah.
And his face at the very end, just knowing that he didn't win.
Yeah,
it was priceless. It was very, very priceless.
And I'm not saying that I want him to, but that's my answer to that question.
All right. Who's your biggest rival?
Now, I think this is interesting. I think because I could, like, you know how, like, Brummett and Andy know each other really well. Pete and Bradley could say they're each other's rivals because they've known each other for, like, 30 years or whatever, or 25 years or whatever it is. For sort of mid-table finishing, yeah. I know Brummett didn't have a very good last year, but I think he's, like, I'd say a bit of a rival, Brummett.
Brummett?
Yeah, I think Brummett knows a lot mm-hmm. about football. He knows loads of facts. He's got a memory that goes back, like, years and years and years and years and years and all that kind of stuff. And I think, like... if he can put that into his team this year, I think that's
how it. Many times has Brummett actually won?
He's not won it. No, okay. Talk's a good talk.
All right, I see that. All right, so what interesting predictions are you making for this season?
I think Phil will have a good season. I think Mantle will win. I think I'm really interested to see how the new ones get on. Jammer, for example, he's got first pick. He could have an amazing season, but I think, and I love Jammer, but I think he's going to bottle his first pick. I spoke to him earlier, and I don't think he's quite decided yet who he's going to have. And I think if it was me, I'd be going Aubameyang, 100% Aubameyang. I'd be going for that. It'd be interesting to see what he does. He said he's going to leave it up for there. He could either have a brilliant season or a shit season. But yeah, Phil will have a good season. Yeah.
We heard it here first. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to write any number down this year. You must be pleased about that, right?
Very pleased about that. Yeah. Especially because obviously they, because of the Greenwood thing, I'm particularly pleased about it. But I'm even more pleased about it because the numbers always stress me out anyway. So that's why this year I want to make a bit of a comeback and I want to draft properly. Because with the previous one, writing the numbers down, like you say on the board, yeah, obviously Greenwood, I was obviously gutted about that. In addition to that, I think this year's a real test. Like last year, you could have lost a player because you didn't have enough points. This year, it becomes, I think it's more about the knowledge of the players.
The actual players.
Yeah, okay. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I am feeling a lot better about the lack of numbers. But I think Dutton will as well. Dutton fell foul to it last year as well within the actual drafting of it.
All right. In terms of your listeners' support, what would you like them to the listeners to support your team name? Remind me your team name again?
Wedding Crashers FC.
All right, there you go.
I want them to support me because they like my drafting style and they like the cut of my jib. I think I'm like a solid mid-table. I suppose it's like when Leicester won the league. Yes, Leicester were actually proper underdogs, but if a mid-table team does well and finishes in the Champions League or wins, for the people that have supported them for years and years and years, they can finally feel that time to celebrate.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing with me. I'm not like a guaranteed winner. I don't think I'm guaranteed in the bottom either. So I'm kind of, it could be like a bit of a yo-yo. It'll be exciting. Yeah. If you follow me, it's going to be an exciting journey because I could win or I could lose. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a wild ride, is it? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster. You did that with your hand, like a roller coaster.
Yeah, roller coaster.
It's like a roller coaster. Yeah, this year will be a roller coaster. So if you want to be a Glory supporter, fine. Go for Mantle or someone like that, or go for, you know, maybe Nick or whatever because he's the champ because he's just won. But if you want more of a roller coaster, Wedding Crashers FC.
If you want a 2020 roller coaster, yes, like we haven't had already.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe that my team is like 2020. Hopefully with more ups than downs.
With more ups, yeah, exactly. There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would shake your hand, but obviously we're socially distancing.
He's
excited, isn't he? Hey, bloody hell. Motormouth Ellard. I think also it was a bit like, we were just sort of, I was doing the barbecue and stuff, and then you went, right, you might as well go upstairs. I wasn't ready for it at all, whereas everyone else is like, they know someone else is in the room, and it could be them next, or they know it's next. Then I just went out there and I had a verbal diary for what felt like half an hour. What do you think about that then?
Well, I think, thankfully, the listeners will get an edited version of what we've just listened to.
Yeah.
You're feeling very confident, though. I should point out this is pre-draft. We hadn't drafted any players at this point, but this is pre-draft. Did you get your legacy picks that you were talking about?
I didn't get Barnes. I didn't get Grealish. I did get Dallas for Leeds.
Yes.
That's the one I was going on about quite a lot. I've got Greenwood. But I didn't think Greenwood was going to be available when I picked him. I think I picked him in second.
He was the 21st pick.
I did not think he'd... I thought he'd go in the top 15. I thought he'd be first round pick. 100%.
I think I probably had him down for that as well. I thought he was going to go earlier. Barnes went pick 28. Anthony Martial went at pick 8.
That surprised me that he went that early.
Here's what I liked about that interview, Marcus, is
critical analysis.
At one point, you present the idea of staying focused for a whole two rounds, like it's a challenge.
It is! It's such a good day that you sort of just get... Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Listeners, just to point out, there are 16 rounds.
Like, yes, yeah. But you know what I mean? You do know what I mean, because like,
So for about 12% of the draft, Marcus is absolutely focused.
I was 100% focused. And then you go, okay, well, like for first pick,
yeah,
I was never going to miss Mane. I thought Yari was going to pick him up before me.
So that focus that you managed to hold on to, where you
didn't need it, mate.
You're ticking off the names. Well done. I also had a lot of appreciation for the sheer joy of which you answered the question of who you thought was going to get the wooden spoon.
And it's not because I want it.
Melanie! I think it's going to be Melanie!
You know what? It's like when Leicester won the league, isn't it? Which I keep going on about.
Which,
obviously.
Yeah.
We ended up getting rid of the manager about 3 months later. Those things happen. You have your ups and then you have your downs.
Yeah, that's a little bit like the prediction you made where he was like, yeah, I could win or I could lose.
Get me on Sky Sports.
It should get you what you would be better than half of the pundits.
I was just so excited. Some things didn't even make sense. I was saying I was nervous about number 10, which I was really nervous about number 10.
Yeah.
It's so unpredictable because I didn't think Martial would go that early at all. I thought Mane would go earlier. I can't believe Salah went at what, 5?
We're going to have to put the draft board up on Instagram before this comes out, or as this comes out, so that people have context. We'll also have an episode regarding the actual drafting on the day. Footage from the day itself. Let's just say there was one or two surprises.
Yeah.
And people who were in drafting positions that were later on, who were maybe complaining about them, Mantle, they suddenly found themselves in a position where they were like, oh my God, there's still some players I actually want at my first round pick. That's something to look forward to, folks.
When we listen back to podcasts, I will not be listening to my interview again. I chatted so much shit.
Something else to look forward to is our next drafter. I mentioned before about having a juxtapositioning character or energy to Jose. There's two people who fall into that bracket the most. Here's one of them, and that is Meds.
Ah.
Meds, lovely guy, doesn't have that kind of like American zest to him in the same way that Jose does, shall we say.
Yeah, he's an observer.
He is an observer. So you're about to witness Meds encounter a charm hurricane, smack him in the face, and do his best with it.
That's right, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yo.
Hello, good sir.
Alright.
There you go, have a seat if there is some sanitizing, if you will like, you know, social distancing. Mm-hmm. How are you, good sir?
Yeah, good, all good.
All good? How you feeling today?
I'm good, yeah.
It's a wonderful weather, I think. It's
yeah.
Perfect day for
this. Aye, nice little barbecue, it's going to be great.
Yeah, then we're all going to eat. Are you excited about the pineapple? Which I think we still haven't got.
Still haven't got there. Well,
we're going to get it eventually.
That's so. All right, and yeah. You got my hopes up on the pineapple.
Yeah, yeah.
So a bit better of material.
We're going to try to deliver it, is what we're going to try to do.
Nice.
All right, mate, let's get into the gritty of this, and yep. I want you to be as specific as possible.
Mm-hmm.
All the deeds, I want all cool. the deeds.
We'll just interrupt here, because what I love about that interaction that has absolutely nothing to do with the draft.
Everything!
It's just how Jose has warmed up Meds before he's got going, talking about pineapple, which Meds clearly likes. I didn't realise Meds had such an appreciation for pineapple.
I've got to go on to the shop.
Yeah! Manages to throw in our first reference to Needy Greedy.
I like to just get straight into the gritty of it. Good. And the mate. There's also a mate in there.
There's a mate in
there. Right then, mate. Let's get to the gritty of this.
This is why Jose was a good choice for this.
Without further ado.
Let's get back to a bit more Meds.
First question for you, mate. How confident are you in this new Legacy League format? And how confident do you feel about winning?
So this new format of Legacy League is not going to help me out at all.
Why is it?
Because as everybody knows, my knowledge of football isn't the best.
Okay.
So the old format where somebody would offer up a player and you could bid for, I could quickly Google their stats and I could decide if I wanted to or not. This format, which was the original format as well, where you have to work out who you want and that's your player. Not helpful for me at all. So, all
right. So how confident are you about winning then?
I'll never ever win.
What I mean, you have to have a little bit of hope, right?
My hope is just to not be in the catering zone. If I do that, I'll be happy.
All right. Sounds like a plan. And what is your tactic going to be?
So my tactics. I think I'm gonna go. What am I going to do? I'm going to get a few youngsters in first up. Right. So I'm going to play a long game and hopefully that's going to materialise down the line, because that's my only hope. Maybe sneak in a big name and then the standard, get as many Welsh people in as possible because I've at least heard of them.
Oh, really? Is that right? Okay. That makes sense,
so,
actually.
Yeah. So my tactics are kind of the same as every other year.
Oh, is that right?
Hit and hope.
Okay.
Or pick and hope.
All right, now that you know we're talking about young players, who will your top three players be? In terms of, would they be, you know, young players, or do you have someone in mind?
So I've been eyeing up Mason Greenwood.
Greenwood?
Yeah, so he's been reclassed as a midfielder, so that, and he's only 18, and he came good for Marcus at the end of last year, even though he was an illegal transfer that he doesn't accept. So he's somebody that I'm thinking about. Then I think Timo Werner, which is only 24, new signing for Chelsea. He could be a long-term investment there. Don't know much about him, but they pay quite a lot of money for him, so it must be half decent.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, well, I want to go David Brooks, but I think he is injured, so I might go Harry Wilson, which I had
Harry
last
Wilson.
Year. Yeah.
All right, that's your third one.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I know who he is.
That's as easy as you can get. Mm-hmm. Who would you have as your secret pick?
So I've had a few tips from my mates, and he's not on the game yet, I don't think, but I think I'll go Alan from Everton.
Okay.
Because somebody's told me that he could be pretty good.
Okay.
And I trust him. So we'll see. That one, but I don't know where he plays or anything, so we'll see if that has popped up.
When we started, you said you didn't want to, you know, finish in the catering zone.
Yep.
That's because, you know, you finished two seasons already in the catering zone. Do you miss it?
No, I don't miss
you
it. No, not at all.
Not at all?
No, I can just relax today. There's no pressure of lugging all the food up from Cardiff, cooking, and so I just can sit in the garden, have a laugh, and yeah.
All right.
So, but I am at risk of losing my sponsors. That's
right.
That is the only issue that I'm having with my success at the moment.
You do have to think about that. It's very, very important. Now, let's get to the questions that I think are the fun ones.
Okay.
You know, in terms of the draft, who would you like to win?
I like Matthew Melaleu to win.
Matthew, why is that?
Just because he came so close last year. He's struggled like I have down the bottom of the table. He's a nice guy. We get along. And if, yeah, I think he deserves it.
In terms of who do you think will win?
So I think Melaleu's run last year was a fluke. So I don't think he's going to be up there again this year. I think it's going to be either Brummett or Mantle. I think they had not the best of season, so I think they're going to be on it a bit more this year.
And who do you think will get the wooden spoon?
I obviously hope it's not going to be me. but high probability it could be, but I reckon, because he's back in it this year and has got slightly more knowledge than me of football players, but not as much knowledge of the draft, I think Jammer is going to be holding the wooden spoon this time next year.
Okay, interesting. And then who do you think is your biggest rival?
My biggest rival would be, just to, because I enjoyed our little battle last year, pre-COVID, and they wind him up a treat. I think me and Bradley James are on par.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so a little battle by there, and then, and I think, maybe Marcus, because it got close in the end, and he's kind of trying to throw me in the bus and put me in the catering zone this year, which failed on appeal, which I'm glad about. So I think, it's three.
So Bradley or Marcus?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Nice little battle, that one.
Yeah, I can see that. And what interesting predictions do you have for this season?
Well, the other people said
this is unfortunately a very private thing. I can't give out any information.
My predictions are that Yare is going to continue to talk a lot of shit. Marcus will moan about things, and in terms of draft picks, somebody from Leeds will do well.
Somebody from Leeds?
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense.
I haven't got a clue.
You're just making something up.
Just very broad generic.
And one last question for you, mate. Why should listeners support your team? What's your catering is your team name?
So my team name is Byddin y Gegin, which is Kitchen Crusaders in Welsh. And so why should people support me?
Yes, and how would you like them to show their support?
They should support me because I have a lot of laugh, I enjoy the draft, I haven't got a clue what's going on, so I need as much support as possible to keep my morale up and keep me interested in the draft.
So it's more of a support system for you, you're right.
Instead of actual, more of a support system would be good. And
how would you like them to show that support?
I'd like a few banners, send me lots of love on Instagram.
Right.
I like chicken. So tubs of 5 kilo chicken would be great.
Okay, chicken.
Yeah. Then depends how the day goes, maybe a pot or two of pineapple to go on top.
There you go, you heard about the day. Pineapple. We're gonna deliver, mate. We're gonna deliver.
Follow me. Follow Wales.
Alright.
Byddin y Gegin.
Beautiful, man. Thank you so much.
That's not great.
How do you feel that went? Yeah?
That's good. Yeah, enjoy that.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns.
so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Like, you can absolutely tell why he's Meds is a fan's favourite. He just comes across so well. Right at the beginning, I was like, absolutely.
I think he's just earnest. He's an honest guy in pretty much everything he does. That comes across as when he's then interviewed about his tactics. And he just goes, and goes silent for a while, and then makes him up on the spot.
I love the fact that during the, which I did not know he did this, but during when we had to bid for them in the draft, he would sit there and if a name came up, just Google their stats to see whether he wanted to spend his money on them. Brilliant.
His confidence goes as far as he will say he will never ever win.
No, I want him to win.
I'll tell you one thing actually, which might back that theory up. Desired player David Brooks, not in the Premier League this season.
There you go.
He says really lovely things about Melaleu.
This was probably my favourite bit.
And then he sticks in the knife and goes, yeah, it was bloody fluke last year, wasn't it?
Really wanted to win, but it was fluke. He's going to lose.
I also think Meds, he probably knows how to get a bit of airtime by essentially targeting the two hosts of the podcast.
Mate, what are your predictions? Yari will talk a lot of shit. Marcus will moan. Get them all down, I've not got enough paper for them.
Great prediction from him. Someone from Leeds will do well. Anyone. It's not even someone on the team. Some
person from Leeds will do well at something.
Yeah, it's going to make a really good hot pot or something.
Love it. I'd be really interested to see how many other people reference people's ages as much as Meds did. Mason Greenwood, he's 18 years old, so he's got a long... Timo Werner, he's 24.
Oh,
so
that's a good point.
He was giving the names and I was like, ah.
So he has done a little bit of legacy research. Yeah. I'd say specifically legacy research. He's well up for you sending him a bit of chicken and pineapple.
5 kilos.
5 kilos, just a 5 kilo
just
chicken.
Just a 5 kilo.
Send me a 5 kilo chicken, please, to show me that you support me. Is there any other way of doing it? No.
Absolutely not.
No, it's the only way I'll... It's the only way I'll know that you truly support me, Meds, and... But Begebin, aka the Kitchen Crusaders, need to work on my Welsh. Well,
what about Timo Werner? Spent a lot of money on him, so he must be half decent. Got to be half decent.
Got a point.
Absolutely.
He has got a point. That was Meds.
Love it.
Like you say, I think in his own kind of way, a bit of a fan favourite continued. I think people were pleased he managed to evade the catering zone last season. I think they'll be hoping for that next season. He's like that team is always just fighting to avoid the relegation zone. We're talking a Crystal Palace.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Crystal Palace get to the end of the season, and provided they're safe, they can sort of breathe a sigh of relief and go, right.
Everyone in South London's happy.
Yeah. I would say Meds maybe is a Crystal Palace. Because Crystal Palace are quite a liked team by people who are not Brighton fans.
The strangest derby in football, but best kit in the league.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's them, Wolves and Fulham.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're the three best kits in the league this season.
And Thistle.
Arsenal, unfortunately, are not top of that list. Far from it. But it's all right. Adidas don't want my money.
Are you not even going to get it?
No.
Wow.
No, it's a very bad kit. It's a below par kit. It's not a very bad kit. It's just a below average kit.
Does it make the cut?
Not to get into my wardrobe.
Okay, who've we got next?
We have got a fellow Arsenal fan, actually, and a newbie. We're about to hear from Daniel Mutlow.
Oh, this is exciting.
If you had to pick one person to win, who would you like to win?
Well, famously on the podcast, I came on as a cameo last year and did like a big rousing speech for Matthew Melaleu just towards the end of last season.
Right.
And that was a sort of slightly satirical kind of rally and call for people to get behind him, because there was a real close race between him and Nick, who eventually then did win it. I think his ship has sailed. So I think, as Bradley said on the podcast, actually, if it was going to happen for Matthew, I think it was going to happen.
It was like that season. Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't want Wolf to win, but I know it would mean a lot to him. He wouldn't show it, but it would mean a hell of a lot. Jonathan.
So in terms of who would you like to win and who would actually win? So you say Wolf will probably...
I think Wolf will be up there. I think you've got, like, I think Bradley will be up there, because he's... You've got to realise with Bradley, right, he's designed this system, so it's been in his head more than everyone else.
Right.
So when he's designing the system, he's also got the advantage of thinking about what would work within that system. So he's had the advantage of thought and time over a long period of time.
But you can also argue that you see the system from the outside, thereby you can see the loops.
Yeah,
you
that's
can
true.
See things in that's, a different way.
Yeah, that's true, definitely. But I think Bradley's clearly got a very, very clear strategy.
Yeah.
If it works, then he's going to be in the top three, definitely. I think Jammer...
You would like him to win?
I would like him. I'd like to see him win. He's got first pick. You know, he seems pretty nervous today. I think he's like, he's quite kind of like a jovial character.
Right.
He brings people together. And, you know, he's always been very friendly to me, so...
Okay.
He's a very warm person, and so, like, I feel like if I was gonna at this point say somebody to win it...
Yeah.
Give it to Jammer.
All right, here's a controversial question. Oh, who do you think is going to get the wooden spoon?
Well, there's some obvious candidates.
Okay, go on.
I think Matthew Melaleu would be an obvious candidate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think... Well, I think Mantle, the other Daniel, and Phil, I think those three positions are... the hardest positions in terms of drafting a team. So we would all be candidates just based on that, just the, literally the luck of the draw about who was brought out. I think Phil's probably a bit of a candidate. He's gone for a bit of a wildfire strategy where he's thrown away a few top picks.
Right.
He's kind of gone down a little bit of a similar line as Bradley, but I feel it's not as much of a honed strategy as Bradley.
Okay.
So I think it could backfire. So I mean, Phil Melaleu, possibly Meds, but he's got a decent pick, actually. He's number two, I think. So,
if you had to pick one?
Let's go Phil.
Phil. And you're yet to complete a season.
Correct.
Are you likely to walk out halfway through this interview?
Well, it depends how, if like my freedom of movement is restricted or like if there's some sort of system or framework which allows me to only have a sip of water at a particular time, or maybe I get fined for saying a certain amount of words in this answer.
Right.
But
which probably you will.
Yeah, which likely will happen. No, I think, look, I've got to do a little speech later kind of alluding to the fact that maybe like a kind of both a sort of why I'm here, but also say like a kind of maybe like a reintegration back into the draft, I guess, from 6 or 7 years ago. And I think it's a time of the life thing. And I think it's also a bit of like a letting go of certain things and just accepting it for what it is, and then embracing it, right? So
yeah,
I think you're going to get the most fun out of it if you just embrace it for what it is.
And that's the attitude to have, absolutely.
Yeah.
And who's your biggest rival?
Depending on how things go, I would say. I'm going to be shooting for like aiming for the top three, and I think you're going to have you're going to have people like Bradley, Pete. You're going to have people like Jonathan Wolf. You're going to have maybe people like Brummett potentially.
But if you had to pick
one
rival that you go, man, like that's going to be a tough one. Who would it be? Marcus?
Not Marcus. I think if you were to finish ahead of, I think if you're going to finish, I think this year if you finish ahead of Bradley, you're going to be doing quite well.
Head of Bradley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to your supporters, why should listeners support your team, and how would you like them to show it?
That's an interesting question. I haven't really thought about it like that, but
that's what we ask it in the show, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess maybe goes back to that kind of like, look, I think I'm not afraid to throw about a little bit of controversy. I'm not afraid to kind of like make bold, impulsive choices, and these are the sort of things that, you know, people can hang a narrative on, people can hang a character on. I'm not going to be grey, I'm not going to be bland in a kind of increasingly binary world. I'm going to go one or two ways, and I think I am the Marmite of the draft. I think I possibly could
be wild card, if
I'm
you will.
Wild card. I think it could go one or two ways, but I'm certainly somebody who likes to live by extremes, and I think people could love or hate me. And I think like that sort of character is the best sort of character, because you're going to provoke some sort of reaction either way, bad or good. And I'd much prefer to be in that category than a kind of flatliner.
And how would you like the supporters to show their love?
Well, I think that they should abuse the other players as much as they can.
Abuse? You go straight to abuse. comments.
I feel like mean comments.
Is there a specific emoji that you want to be sent for all the other drafters as that abuse that you speak of?
Well, it's hard because I feel like there's like levels on which I can speak about people, right? Because I know people on very different personal levels. Yeah. But I mean, Phil's Scottish, and so, you know, any talk of like Scotland's pretty rubbish and England's better than Scotland.
You're very true to the word that you are very controversial.
Yeah. No, Scotland's a shithole. and I feel like, you know, but I mean, Brad's a very sensitive person. His emotions, even though it's like his skin actually is kind of like armor, but I feel like his emotions are very close to the inner surface of that armor. And
very,
so I think
easy to
yeah, yeah okay. I feel like so like I feel like that armor can be penetrated easily, and,
right.
and you know, you could throw him off center. He often doesn't give the pretense of being thrown off center. He's a very stable character, but I think I would ask all my fans to kind of join me in this kind of controversial position to kind of really try and throw our commissioner off center.
There you go. That is what we're going to do, what we want your fans to do.
Thank you very much, mate. That was absolutely wonderful.
Cheers, man.
Daniel Mutlow revealing the soft center to my tough manly exterior, and I think endeared himself to every Scottish listener that we have.
Luke. I'm not even going to repeat it in case I get lumped into that category.
Who's your rival, mate? Is it Marcus? Not Marcus.
Fucking text him straight away. No, you know what? I knee jerk reaction when he texted him. I thought, no, I'm going to listen to the rest of this, because then he seemed to go in on everyone else anyway. Yeah, wow, he's such a fun. He's like a laugh, isn't he, Daniel?
He's got a very infectious laugh. He's got a very infectious. Yeah. Personality, you sort of get on board and enjoy his company very quickly.
But he's going to be a troublemaker.
He is.
By
he
the
is.
Sounds of it.
He's suggested that I have designed the Matrix.
I think that as well. I think you've designed the game and you've played your design very well.
You think I've done it in my favour?
No, I think that obviously you set the rules. So you're having to explain the rules. It's like, right, guys, we're gonna play this great game. Oh, what is it? Oh no, I'll tell you on the day.
What was that about Med saying that Marcus was going to moan this season? His prediction has already come true.
Oh, turning it around on me because you know it's true. Mutlow has rumbled you in interview number three.
The Marmite of the draft.
Oh, mate.
How do you think fans are going to take him?
I think fans are going to really like him. Also, because the thing is, he says lovely things, and like, he's mischievous. The naughty things he's saying are designed deliberately to wind people up. All those lovely things he said about Jamma right at the beginning, all his answers were really considered as well.
Yeah.
So even his sort of, even if he's going to wind up, it's going to be a considered wind up to get maximum effect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm noticing a pattern where people are laying into you and I as if they know that the reaction is then going to be caught for the sake of the podcast.
Yeah.
Or are we just the two targets that everyone wants to go for anyway?
Maybe also because we talk about them.
Yeah, true.
All the time.
This is their chance.
And we get away quite likely because we're in the same room as each other. Oh, yeah. Mate, oh yeah, you'll do well this week. Everyone else gets it. That's good though. I get it. I'm glad. I've only had the listening to Meds and Mutlow, which is basically
two thirds of who we've heard listen to. Have you seen the movie Steve Jobs? Michael Fassbender.
No, I've not.
Basically, each time he does a press launch, a bunch of people in his life come at him and give him abuse about something. And he points this out towards the end. He's like, every time I do a bloody press launch, people just come out the woodwork and start laying into me. And that is essentially what's happened here, Marcus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on. Lucas finally decided to show up by this point.
That's good.
Certainly don't immediately become aware of it. He just pops up. So if you're suddenly confused as to where this new voice has come from.
It's Luca.
He's finally got through London traffic. This new thing that only happened in one day. He was like, oh, London traffic. So he's only missed, what, three of them? Three interviews, that's not too bad. Parkinson, I'm sure, missed one or two in his day. Let's get on with listening to what Andy O'Neill, manager of Lady Online, has to say.
Looking forward to it.
How are you?
Good,
how are
you?
Do you mind closing the door real quick?
Yeah.
And here is some hand sanitizer, 75% alcohol cleansing.
Very good.
There for you to stay safe.
Thank
Please
you
have a seat.
Okay.
How are you? How you been so far?
Very well. Really enjoying the day.
Yeah?
All's well.
My friend, we're going to start the questions. Are you nervous?
No.
You see, no?
No.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, excited.
All right. We are going to have the famous Andy.
I want to stop it at this point. Does it seem to you as though he's Andy's number one fan?
Maybe. He's like, are you nervous? And he's like, no.
No, I'm not. You seem to be.
Yeah.
He's like, would you like hand sanitizer? And how are you, mate? It's the famous Andy. I've never known
him. You're the famous Andy.
Never known him to be called the famous Andy, but I think it's very endearing that Jose is starstruck.
How are you? Good,
great.
Sir?
Yeah, good, thank you.
I really enjoyed the gloves in the photo shoot. I thought that was a really nice touch. You pay attention to detail, which I find out very delightful.
Take an off to eat a hamburger downstairs. But
well,
yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah.
All right, buddy, I have a few questions for you. All right, but the first question we're going to ask you is, how confident are you in this new Legacy League format?
Not at all confident.
Why is that?
I'm last pick, and that is the worst possible situation. And I know it's the worst possible situation because I've offered more or less everybody the chance to trade and they've all turned me down. So that being last pick means that everybody will have at least one player that's better than any of my players. So in previous years, I've been confident, I've fancied my chances, but not this year. I think it would be quite a long shot to win it from last place. It's like starting at the back of the grid in Formula One. It's possible, but it's a long shot.
It's possible, but it's a little bit harder than usual.
Well, nobody ever saw Leicester winning the Premier League, so... You never know.
You
never know what can happen, mate.
I'm playing to win. I'm here to win today. I'm going to be drafting aggressively for the players that I want, and hopefully that'll be enough.
And is that your tactic? Is that?
Yeah, I have to sort of... I'm not going to have a superstar the way that the other drafters are going to have, so I'm going to have to trust that I've got better picks 11 and 12 and 13. I'm going to have to go for strength in depth. So that's meant like... a bit of extra research to work out who is going to be left back for Wolves or whatever it might be, you know, so that I've got more knowledge than them when it comes to the bottom picks because they're going to have a stronger first pick than me.
Talking about that research, has your research given you a top three players for your draft?
One of the guiding principles that I base all my drafting on is no Liverpool players.
No Liverpool players.
I'm a big Everton fan, and right. I can't bring myself to have any Liverpool players. So that only leaves three. That only leaves Aubameyang, Sterling, and De Bruyne. So I mean, if any of those end up with me, brilliant. But I think more likely I'm going to end up with somebody like Jamie Vardy. I expect that he'll be overlooked in the first round, and I'll get him as a first round pick. And then, given that he's old, and the legacy format means that my second pick, which is straight away next, I've got 15 and 16. Right. Should be a younger player and should be a midfielder. So I'm probably going to go for Vardy if he's still available and go for a younger midfielder as my second pick. I'm not sure who. Let's see who's left.
Okay, in terms of your later rounds...
I'm not going to worry too much about it. I think it's possible to overthink the implications of legacy format, and so I'm going to just keep it relatively simple, just think this season and, you know, maybe next. I mean, when you get down to picks like your fifth defender or your fifth midfielder, I think you've got two choices. Either... bear in mind the legacy implication and go for a younger one, or more likely, I think, is just go very short term. I think, well, I'm probably going to transfer this player several times before the season ends, so just get who's got good fixtures in the next few weeks.
Right.
So my research is focused on that, who's got easy fixtures.
Okay.
For the first few weeks.
Right. And who would you want to win?
If it wasn't me, who would I like to win the whole thing? Well, Matt Bromwich is a good mate of mine. It would delight and pain me if he won, so I'm slightly torn on that one. Mantle, I like him as a person. I think he's a really good drafter, and he would be the first person to win it twice, so that would be pretty cool. I'd like that.
Let's bring Bromwich back, because Bromwich has said that Tuffy Nose will never win the draft. What's your reaction to that?
But that's based on nothing.
I
normally finish ahead of him. I think I fancy my chances to do it again this season. I think he doesn't know what he's talking about.
And how have you managed to be so under the radar when it comes to your trading?
Because they're pretty fair trades. I think I've got an unfair reputation as someone who sharks people into trades and manipulates. I don't think that's quite accurate. And I think last season Marcus prospered more than I did out of that trade. So he got the upper hand. I don't know, I try to offer people a fair deal, and you know, some people interpret it one way and some interpret it another way.
Okay.
I like trades, I think they're fun. I think we should, you know, trade is fun.
Right.
And I'm always keen to negotiate a trade.
So would you say Bromwich is your biggest enemy this season?
Yeah, I like to finish ahead of
best friend, but your biggest
he's
enemy.
He's a good mate of mine, he's a big Liverpool fan, he'll probably have a team full of Liverpool players, so right. For me to finish ahead of him means not only have I done better than him, but probably Liverpool haven't done that well, so I would take that scenario.
Who do you think will get the wooden spoon?
I think Yare will get the wooden spoon again, and okay. I think that because he's not here to represent himself, which has got some downsides.
Right.
He's a very sort of impulsive and emotionally led, person, but certainly drafter. And I think, if he has to sort of codify that, write it down, hand it to someone else, all sorts of things could go wrong.
Right.
So I think he will really miss out not being here today and the chance to draft in person, and that could lead to a second wooden spoon.
But did you know his caretaker manager does work for Sky Sports?
Oh!
And works for Soccer AM.
I did not know that.
So, you might
he's in
be...
safe hands.
Yeah.
I hope that he doesn't listen to any prep that Yari's given him then.
What would you say your prediction is for this season?
For this season, in draft terms, I think we won't finish the season with the same 15 guys that are starting today. I think some sort of drama will happen, some sort of fallout, someone will lose interest. I think we'll have a different composition by the end of the season than we're starting with today. Okay. Normally, we get close to it. There are fallouts and tiffs and disagreements along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as that's got so far is people's virtually storming out of the WhatsApp group. I think we may see someone lead the league at some point in time.
Do you think it could be you?
No, it's unlikely to be me. I think I'm slightly more balanced than some of these people. There's quite a few hotheads out there, and I don't think I'm one of them.
You're serene. You have this serene vibe to you, man.
I think that's me. Yeah.
And in terms of the your support, your listeners.
Yeah.
Why should you get support and how would you like them to show it?
Yeah, good point. I've not done anything spectacular over the last season to warrant a big fan base yet, and that's what I hope to bring now. So one of my strategies for today is draft players that I like and I can get behind and stick with rather than, he may get slightly more points than him. I'd rather have a likeable team of fun players, and hopefully that will be attractive to listeners and followers as well. People might think, this collection of players are quite fun and score goals and that sort of thing, and I'm going with that rather than, this person may get slightly more than that if I don't really like them.
And in terms of how would you like them to show it? You want comments, you want share, how would you
like
them to show it?
Of course, yeah, good, all of that, comments and shares and things, but what I would like to reward them with is top game week video. So I want to be the character who's there celebrating so that they've got some decent content that they can interact and react to.
Fair enough.
You're a man of the people, and we hope the best for you for this season.
Thanks very much.
Comments and shares and things. Andy O'Neill is one of the youngest of the drafters, and yet he is the oldest of the drafters, I think. He's the most dad-like. Pretty difficult for people to support him. Doesn't have an Instagram. We need to get him on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then people can actually comment and like and share stuff that he on his Instagram, perhaps.
Let's not even do the small talk. He expects draft drama. I wanted to stop it straight away and just talk about that. storming out. There's quite a few hotheads. He thinks there's going to be a full-on draft drama this year.
I love it. I love how bold that prediction was.
But literally, he didn't even come up for breath. It was like, any predictions for the draft this year? Yes, we will finish with a different 15 to we start with because somebody's going to storm out.
Yeah, we will lose somebody, all these hotheads in the group.
I mean,
this is why he loves Mantle. Loves Mantle. I seem to remember last year he was asked, who would you like to win the draft?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people have an issue with the idea of somebody winning two times.
I don't want to win. You're sitting right in front of me. I'd hate it if you
I don't want somebody to win it two times. Almost to the point of I don't want myself to win it.
Well, you jeopardised your team last year with your tweets. You won't be doing it again this year.
Yeah, which is how much I support the idea that we keep getting new winners.
Yeah.
Andy is like, oh, Mantle's nice. Yeah. I hope that'd be nice if... be super great if Mantle wins it.
Again, another observer, isn't it, I think? Like he said, he's quite level-headed. He's obviously watching it from afar. He has very strong opinions about Liverpool, obviously, which we heard then.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
Big Evie fan. Big Everton fan.
But he also said he's not confident this year. I remember distinctly him saying last year, I'm very confident.
Very confident. So you're saying that him saying the reverse is actually a bit of a worry.
Yeah, but...
he's trying to downplay it.
He is trying to downplay it, but also what he didn't realise at this point in the game is that his first two picks, contrary to what he thought, are actually very... He's got two very good players for his first two picks. So he must be jumping for joy. If Andy now could talk to that Andy... I'd love to know what he said. I know it would be in Back to the Future where you can't interrupt them with the space stuff. But like if
the space time continues, you can't mess with it.
I bet you know what, mate, it's all going to be fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it. No. Also, he's there, I think at the beginning he said he knows it's a bad pick because nobody will trade with him. The reason no one will trade with him is because I'm pretty sure the trades he's offered out there would have been pretty horrendous.
He offered me a trade.
Oh yeah, what was it?
See, hello mate, I'm wondering what I can do to prize pick 10 off you.
Okay, interesting.
How about I offer picks 15 and 45 for your 10 and 51?
He was going to offer you 15 and 45?
Yeah.
For 10 and 51? No, that's absolutely daft.
There you go. So I did the right thing by not doing that.
Massively.
Yeah.
Massively. That's what I mean.
He said, I think picks 15 and 16 could do you very well.
Which they have done.
And I sent that on Sunday the 30th of August, I sent that.
I think he was thinking more about pick 15 and not so much about pick 16.
Yeah.
Because to put it in perspective, listeners, if you had pick number 1, your second pick wasn't anywhere near pick 16. It was pick 30.
Yeah.
And Andy has got two players. One who I think he probably didn't think was going to fall to him. And then another who I would have loved to have in my team because I think he's a brilliant player. Come the end of the draft, as you said, if he could go back in time, but don't worry about it, mate.
Yeah, but I'd just like to flag up that I said I'd like to see Andy win the league. Did not return the favour.
No, because he loves Mantle too much. He absolutely loves Mantle.
Not as much as Jose loves Andy.
I think.
Oh, love the gloves, mate. Yes, you've got very serene vibes.
Yeah.
All right, get a room, you two.
They had one.
Yeah, literally.
They had one. They had one all to themselves. That wraps up part one of the pre-draft interviews, Marcus. You enjoyed them so far?
So far, so good. I am really enjoying it and looking forward to the rest.
You and I seem to be taking the biggest roasting so far.
I have been mentioned in all of them and not favourably. In any.
Don't worry, mate. There's still mine to come.
Thank you.
As I say, that's the end of part one. Part two should be coming out soon. I suppose it doesn't really matter what order you listen to these two in. Part two, coming soon. Draft safe.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.